Job's lesson. What was Job's lesson, you think? Yeah, he was a little bit. He did rely on that. But he hadn't done anything wrong, really, had he? So, I mean, it's not like the Lord was, that you ain't been doing this right, and you gotta quit this, or you gotta start doing this. In the end, he found out, yeah, standing before the Lord, that he didn't have anything in himself that could compare to God. And he, even though he hadn't done anything wrong, he still had some lessons that he could learn, right? So maybe we could add in there, he was a guy that wasn't to the point where he didn't have any more lessons to learn, right? That was one of his lessons too. So the title tonight is Your Lesson. Okay. And so if you want to put it on your notes, you can write My Lesson. But I'm not talking about my lesson. I'm going to talk about your lesson. We're not going to generalize and say the Christian lesson. We're not going to do that. We're just going to say your lesson. We're going to make it a little more personal. Okay? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Oh, we hit that word this morning, didn't we? But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. All right, let's pray and then we'll begin. Lord, thank you for so many songs that you've left for us and have been collected over the years. And, certainly those songwriters were of a spirit and a desire that is not so often seen today. We don't look much at new songs. Maybe some people are writing better songs, but the songs that you've left us, there's so much blessing there, and that's because you've blessed us and you've blessed others, and you continue to do that. Lord, help us again this evening, and we need more from you. For Jesus' sake, amen. So, what is your lesson? Well, what is a lesson? Okay, let's start with there. What is a lesson? Well, the word is not in the Bible, right? The word lesson is not in the Bible. But rather, you have the word learning or teach, right? Or here we have learn, taught. Those words are in the Bible. So a lesson, as a Christian, your lesson, it's not like you know, some kind of just theory that you might learn about how something works, or a specific, just simple piece of knowledge. It's a lot bigger than that. In verse 21, it uses the word truth, right? And have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That's not just knowledge. That's something bigger than some kind of theory. It's a truth. And then when you come to that truth, it's like a new realization, right? It's a whole bunch of stuff that you, before, maybe you thought you knew a lot about life or what you're doing in this life, and then as some things came along and you realized maybe you didn't know as much as you thought you did, and then you were exposed to the Word of God and the Gospel, and then one day maybe it hit you, or over a period of a short period of time you came to the realization that there's a whole bunch of stuff that you didn't know but now you know. It was a new realization. That's what our lesson was at the beginning. It was a new realization. And each one of our lessons now, as we go along, there's going to be that aspect to it. It's going to be a new realization. You're going to be learning a new truth. And it's something God wants you to just not put in your head or write down in your notebook. He wants you to have it. He wants you to own it. He wants it to incorporate it into all kinds of stuff that you do in your life. It's kind of like when the electricity was discovered. That was a momentous, right? And it changed the whole world. Or maybe when they finally figured out, yeah, gave Steve a job too. A lot of great things happened from that invention, huh? Or maybe when they finally figured out that germs cause diseases or a lot of diseases. That changed the way they approached trying to heal people. It was a momentous. It was a great truth, and it changed the lives of so many people and completely changed them. That's what our lesson is. It's a new realization. Okay, that's number one. I want also to say that it's your lesson is a new method. It's a new method. In verse 23, he says, "Now put on the new man," because first of all, you're going to take off the old man, and then you're going to put on the new one. You get the old way you're going to do it. You're not going to use that way anymore. Okay, you were using it for a long time, but it wasn't working that good, was it? Okay, and maybe it was working terribly. Okay. Some people will keep doing the same thing for their whole life, and it doesn't work that good. But thank God, we had a realization and realized this method doesn't work very good. I got to do things a different way. And then, so we're going to start using that new method. You're going to start using it every day. You got rid of the old one. Now you're going to start using the new way. That's what each one of our lessons is. If you're studying a lesson right now, that's also what you're learning. You're learning a new method. Not only that, is it a method, but let's flip over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Man, I should have rewrote this. I scratched over my Chinese and wrote into English words. It's kind of messy. You see me pause and go like that. What's going on here? I had to take a nap this afternoon, so I didn't rewrite. 8:29, Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. I think we hit that this morning. Your lesson is also a new direction. Which way are you going? You're going in the direction of being conformed to the image of his Son. I don't know what direction you were going before, you say, but it certainly wasn't that direction, right? Maybe you thought it was a good direction. You had like your career planned out, and you're in school, maybe you're in college, and then you get out and find a good job, and maybe you had it planned out like that. You thought that was a really good direction, but it was the wrong direction. Those things are good, but as far as a direction for your life, that wasn't the right direction. You weren't going towards being conformed to the image of his Son. Or maybe you were, maybe you didn't have that kind of direction. You're just going all over the place, going back and forth, working here, working there, wasting your days. Yeah, maybe that was it. Well, that wasn't a direction at all either, was it? No. So now we got that. We finally got that direction right. And every lesson that you study now, it's trying to keep you in that direction. It's on that specific thing. It's working you towards the image of Christ so that you'll, resemble him, okay? So that you can witness of him, so that you can work for him. You need to be more like him. We're going towards that. We're going towards life, right? And we're going towards light now. We used to be going towards darkness, and now you're going towards the light. Used to be when you were lost, you'd go into the dark places. You'd wait till nighttime and go to the dark places. Now, I mean, it's a lot. Every once in a while, you know, maybe traveling or something like that, trying to look for a place to eat. You stop into a place and it's a restaurant and a bar. You go in there, it's dark. It's not real dark, but I mean, there's plenty of lights as far as you see what you're doing. But man, it's really dark in here. I don't want to eat in here. I don't want to eat in here. And leave, turn around. We're going to the light. We're going towards the light now. We follow the light now. That's our direction. We're going towards being conformed to the image of His Son. Not only are we going towards to be conformed to His image, but let's flip over to Philippians 3:10. Philippians 3, verse 10. Paul says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. We're going towards a deeper understanding, a deeper knowledge, a deeper fellowship. Deeper is a direction too, isn't it? We're going in a deeper place where we can understand Him better, where we can walk with Him more closely. We're trying to get to know Him better, where we're trying to have maybe a little bit more power in our lives that we didn't have before. That's the direction our lesson, whatever that lesson you're studying, is taking you. Now, there's a lot of lessons. I mean, there's so many lessons. Some of them are easier than others, but a lot of times people always, they use this word. They say, it's too hard. It's too hard. I don't belittle anyone's difficulties, and there's stuff that's hard. So there's stuff that's really hard. But I almost always remind them, don't say too hard, okay? Don't say too hard. You can say hard, but it's not too hard. So sometimes we ask, well, why can't the Lord make it a little easier? Why does it have to be so painful, so like I'm getting wrung through some kind of a machine or something like that and getting squeezed this way and on the rack or something? Why does it have to be so hard? Well, I always show them this. You probably know this one, but maybe some of you don't. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I like showing them this one. It hasn't been too long since I preached this one in China. And a lot of our people are newer in the Lord, younger, and so they have no idea about this. So I get to show them this one. It's pretty cool to see their reactions. Oh. Verse 8. Hebrews 5, verse 8. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. So I can tell, you see, even Jesus had to learn obedience. And by, and not only what did He have to learn it, but He had to suffer in order to learn it. So you think that you shouldn't have any difficulties learning your lessons in the Christian life? Jesus had to learn something. He had to learn. And so we don't have to have any difficulties. How long did it take Him to learn His lesson? I mean, He probably was a fast study, right? You know, maybe college by 12, you know, that type of thing, right? He was already up there with the religious leaders and the professors and stuff. He learned really fast, didn't he? How many years did it take him? Let's see. You count from the time he started. Well, we can say 12. You know, you can pick that age. When did he finish learning? 33 years old, right? So what's the math on that? It took him like 20 years to learn. It's a long time. It took him 20 years to learn, completely learn the lesson of obedience. So you think you should be able to learn it in 2 years? 5 years? Say, I've been saved for 10 years. I still haven't learned it very well. Well, I hope you're trying to learn it, but don't be surprised. Don't give up. But maybe you just haven't learned it all the way yet. It's not that surprising. Okay, it took the Lord a long time to learn his lesson fully. Now, I think his lesson was probably harder on many, many levels. But even so, it may take you a while. Turn to, Hebrews, we did that one. Go back to chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering. You have to remember that what the Lord is doing in us, in conforming us to his Son, is not just like making just you like Jesus Christ. He's making many like Jesus Christ. He's got a plan where there's this huge family that crosses the centuries, and he's been working on this for century after century. And so it's not just us in this church that each are learning our lesson. It's the whole city, the whole country, the whole world. Christians in a whole bunch of other places are learning lessons, and he's making this huge family, right? And some of those lessons require some interaction between Christians. Some of the interaction is going to be international. Some folks are going to go over to Europe, and they're going to be learning a bunch of things from other people in Europe. And those folks in Europe are going to be learning some stuff from American Christians. So those are the kind of things that are going on. So the whole process is just not going to happen for you in a decade. And so you're in a local church, and some of the things you are learning are a result of your interaction with other people in the church. And so he's got a bigger plan than just make you yourself like his son. He's making a whole huge family. It's a massive project, we might say. Might take a little bit longer than you thought. Amen. China, they have a lot of factories in China, but of course, some of our factories are in China, right? Some of the stuff they make is just pretty assembly line stuff. You ever worked in a factory? Ever run a machine or anything like that? Maybe like a stamping machine? Just the stuff come along, stamps down on the next one, stamps down on the next one, stamps down on the next one, right? That's not what the Lord's making. That's not what the Lord's making. You know, it's just not this like this little figure that got stamped or got squirted out of a mold. And the outside is all the shape is like that, and it gets shot with spray here and then shot with spray there, and then it's done. No, he's making a complete being, a complete person that resembles his son. And it's not going to be just like, you have a beard or whatever at the rapture. It's more about what's inside, right? It's going to be through and through. That's what he's working on us. He's going to make us like his son through and through. 2 Timothy. Yeah, some of you will have to wait till the rapture to have a beard. A nice one anyways. But you'll be able to have one. Second Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. People are learning all the time, right? You say, I ask you, what's your lesson? You say, well, I'm not really sure. Well, you're learning something. You're learning something. Well, who is learning in this verses here? Go look at the top there, farther up. Well, what's going on here? Who's learning? Verse 2, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That's what they're learning. They're learning stuff. How to be traitor, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. That's what these people are learning. We're learning all the time. You're not learning the lesson that God's got for you to learn. You're learning something. You think, well, I'm just going to take time out for my Christian life. I don't feel like learning anything this week, this month. You're learning something right now. When you go home this week, okay, so you don't feel like reading your Bible? You think you're not learning anything? You are. You're learning something. Something's always going into your head. There's always impressions. You're forming opinions. And if you're not learning from here, you're learning from somewhere else. Because it's all around you. It's 3D. Every day when you're out there, the input, the input, the input. Right? So, I have to remind our folks in China, pay attention to the media that your kids are consuming. I probably should say that here too. Pay attention. Because they are learning something from the media that they're consuming. There is no media that is neutral. There is no neutrality in the world. Okay? No entertainment is neutral. There's always something being subtly entered into the viewer's head, the listener's head, always something. It doesn't matter if it's a movie, music, magazine, whatever, book, whatever. There's always something being put in. So if you don't know what's being put into your kid's head, boy, that's going to be a problem for you somewhere down the line. Because they're going to learn it, right? They're going to learn it. And then when they learn it and then start using it, like we're trying to say you're supposed to be learning your lesson for God and you should learn it, start using it, that's what's going to happen. They'll learn it and they'll start using it. So pay attention to that. It's easier to keep it from happening than to fix it after it happens. We have to do that too much, too much. So our lesson, it's kind of like a textbook, actually. Got any textbooks at home? I'm not talking about your Bible, okay, that's not the illustration. I mean like a real textbook from school. Got any left? I used to have my college textbooks in a box somewhere at my parents' house. I think they're gone now. I don't know. Maybe my mom threw them away. My dad threw them away. You went to college for a couple years and then you just went off and become a preacher. You don't need these. You don't need a biology book anymore. You don't need a calculus book anymore. Throw it away. I don't think I did it. I wanted to find those, see what I learned in college. You know, in grade school, you know, the textbooks are just like this, right? Probably. And then in junior high, get a little bit thicker. And then by the time you get to high school, you got some books like this, right? Okay. And then when you get to college or whatever, trade school or something, you'll have some fat ones like that, right? You show me a big book on electricity, and I will never be able to learn in a thousand years. It's probably a big fat book like that, right? Yeah, that's what our lesson. It's like a textbook. And so at the beginning of the textbook, what do you have? You got like some introduction and stuff to the subject, right? And we've had our introduction to the Christian life, right? We were saved, we received the Lord, and we learned that we are a new creature. And some of the things that happened to us when we were saved. The Lord put His Spirit in us and sealed us. So we learned those basic things. And that was at the beginning of the book, the first couple chapters. That'd be the introduction in the textbook. Okay? And then there's a whole bunch of chapters afterwards. Some of them are longer, maybe some of them are shorter, some of them are easier, some of them are harder, right? So in your lesson, what chapter are you on now? What chapter are you working on now? What chapter is your class working on now, or if you're in school? I can ask you, right? And I mean, you're going to school, right? So what chapter are you on? You don't know what chapter? You should know what chapter you're on. You're studying the textbook, right? What chapter are you on? What are you working on right now? So that's what I want you to be able to answer. Say, what is my lesson? What am I working on right now? Say, well, I'm studying to be a better Christian. No, that's just too general. That's too general. There's no chapter that's titled like that. How to be a better Christian. That's the name of the whole textbook. Okay? Now, you might have a chapter like being a servant, right? That might be that'd be a pretty big chapter, right? Probably have to be a longer chapter. Or maybe you'd have a chapter on temperance, right? And so maybe you're in that chapter this week. You know what chapter you're working on? Could you, like, you got any notes on your chapter? You make notes when you read and then put notes in your textbook or in your notebook? What chapter are you on? So let's say if we're talking about, let's just pick cancer. That's a big subject, right? We hit that this morning. So you go to college, and maybe you're in a pre-med curriculum in some of the upper level courses. Okay, now cancer, big fat book, right? And it's gonna have all kinds of stuff. And you learn first of all, real general what cancer is, and then you got through the chapters of the various types. Okay, did you learn it pretty well? What are the major types? Well, if you didn't learn it, then when you go on to the next chapter, you're not going to be able to do very well, because after you learn the major types, then they're probably going to divide them up and maybe say, or in the section of each type, they're going to say, well, how do you cure that one, right? And so if you don't learn the first part, then the second part, or as you continue, it's maybe it won't have a whole lot of meaning to you. You won't connect it together. Maybe you won't be able to use it. But if you study it real well, okay, you learn different types, the types, and you're reading along there, you're reading about this type. You know, I got some of these symptoms. You know, I think I ought to go down to the clinic. I'm going to ask them about that. You go down there, you get a couple blood tests. You got a little bulge there, something like that. And then you find out that, oh yeah, I have that type. So now, what are you going to do when you get to the next chapter? The chapter about how to cure that type. What are you going to do? You are going to study. You are going to study hard. You're going to master that. You're going to find out everything there is to know. You're going to go get other books. How do I cure this? Because I got it. I got to learn this. I have to. You know what chapter you're on? How well you working on it? What's your lesson? I can tell you my lesson this week. It's not too bad. So sometimes you're learning lessons you don't want to tell someone else about. But I can tell you about this one. It's not too bad. Well, it is bad. I shouldn't say that. It's not bad. It's not like a bomb or anything went off. Most of you know my family's lost. My sister's lost. I have one sister. And I wasn't a very good brother when we were younger. I probably was a bad brother. I don't remember it too much. I think today, because I was such a bad brother, she probably still hates me. You know, that's like for 40 years, okay? And so When we come back to the States, our interactions are not usually very pleasant. There might be some pleasantries, but there's always this vibe there. Like when she comes in the room and I'm in there, it's like if you get close to a transformer. There's just potential there, just waiting. And I mean, it's something that really irks me. Okay, I'm usually pretty patient. I mean, with people in China, and you know, even people that get mad and say ridiculous stuff, and you know, I don't have much trouble with it. But when it comes to her, wow. So my sister lives right next door to my parents where we're living, okay? And my parents are out of town on vacation, and so we're just us in the house. And so these last couple days have been really hot. What I prefer is I like the windows open. I don't like having the whole house closed up and then you have the air conditioning on it. I mean, at some point, if it's 95 out, you know, it's gonna have to come on. But in the mornings when it's cool, I'm gonna leave the windows open, and even though it's a 75 or whatever in the house, I mean, I don't care. We're used to it now. I'm acclimated to it because that's how Zhengzhou is and Hong Kong is. And you know, so the other day, I mean, it was already like 80 outside, you know, 82, and I hadn't turned on the air yet. It was, you know, noon. I was busy, and so I hadn't turned it on. So she comes over. Sometimes she'll come over. And she came to the front door, and the screen was latched. And so she rang the doorbell and said, "You come up and open the door." I think she said please, but I'm not sure. I don't remember. I won't say she didn't. So I undo the latch, and the first thing out of her mouth is, "It's hotter than hell outside. Why don't you have the air conditioning on? You know, the humidity is not good for the house." And then she walks in the house. Ooh. I couldn't think of anything to say. I was just struck dumb. And I wanted to say something, you know, that would cover all the bases, because I only had like 5 seconds before she turned away after her sucker punch, really. You know, after she turned away and went off into wherever she was going to go work. So all I could say, well, it's not that hot. Or I was gonna turn on a little bit, you know, some kind of wimpy answer like that. So that's an example, okay? And then just yesterday, we're feeding the barn cats while my parents are gone. I got a couple cats out in the barn. You got to feed them every day. Why you have to feed the wild cats, I'm not. But they want to do that for the cats, so fine. So, you know, my dad gave us instructions, and you know, that's been pretty much has been Andrew's job, and he missed one evening, like Thursday or something, and that just happened to me. She came over and checked, okay, because she checks up on us, see if she can find anything wrong. Okay, so she found that so Lori got a text. I checked the water for the cats, and the water's filthy, and there's hardly any water. That was it. Okay. So Lori sends it to me, and we go out there and look. Okay. Well, the water wasn't that filthy. Really, it wasn't that filthy. There was a couple pieces of fuzz in there. I mean, it's outside in the barn. Okay. And but he probably didn't clean the bowls out that day. Maybe even not the day before. So we just ignore it. Okay. And then yesterday, she came the evening, and she added some food. And then in the morning, Andrew noticed that she added some food. That food was added. So I sent her a text, and I said, "Did you come over and feed the cats?" And she sent me a text back, "Yeah, this morning." And I know what's going on. I know what she's doing. So I'm getting irked. So my next text was, why? Now, that's not a bad text, is it? That's a why. It's not a bad word, is it? But I'll tell you what, I didn't pray before I sent that. Actually, I prayed before I asked her, okay? But, I mean, I was irked, and I prayed some too, okay? But I was pretty irked, but I did pray a little bit. You know, so I thought maybe I can maybe this would be a profitable conversation because, you know, we have so few interactions. I thought maybe at least I can make her understand that she's just out of line sometimes, you know? That was my idea. So I sent her that, why? And she didn't answer back right away. Like, she hadn't answered back for like 5 minutes. So I didn't want to wait. So I had an idea, of course, of why she came over. So I sent her a whole long text, you know. I won't go into it. It wasn't like yelling at her or anything like that. But my speculation was incorrect, okay, at least according to what she said. Now, I'm not talking about the deeper issues or anything like that, okay? So so what's my lesson? Well, my lesson is how to be, well, at least patient with someone unlovely. And I didn't do a very good job that day. And maybe I look back at that and I said, man, if I could have just prayed, you know, like for a few minutes. And okay, so I want to ask her why. Okay, so Lord, I think I could probably ask her why. I mean, we're supposed to be like cooperating on the cat project, right? You know, we're neighbors, okay? So I could just add something. So why was that needful, might I ask? I could just add some more politeness to the text, but I didn't, you know. See? You should pray first before you open your mouth, right? You got that idea, what you want to say, and you just spew it out, and what happens? Well, you mess up, right? That's my lesson. So what's your lesson? Well, I want to be a better Christian. No, that's not a detailed lesson. No. What are you learning today? Well, I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better spouse. I want to be a better parent. Now, give me some more details. Exactly about what about being a parent are you trying to learn? Are you trying to learn how to be a better worker? Oh, I want to be a better Christian employee. No, what exactly about it? Well, now it gets down to what you're really studying, right? I'm kind of lazy sometimes at work. I just don't don't feel like knocking it out. So I just kind of take it slow. Everyone else is. Right? I'm trying to learn not to do that. It's not right. Maybe something like that. Or I'm trying to learn not to get impatient when my kid does something stupid, right? Something like that. It's stuff that you need to learn, right? Because what are the consequences? Well, as far as my sister, I mean, she's lost. I mean, we've been, as a family, we've been trying to be a witness to her, to them for years now. And maybe she knows some other Christians, right? And maybe she'll never take a witness from me, but at least she'll have to see me as her big brother, the Baptist minister, right? So that needs to be a pretty good witness, right? If I got that name tag on, that needs to be a pretty good witness. It's important for their souls, right? Stuff happens fast, man. She just came up and just spit that out, and I didn't have a chance. I could have just yelled at her. That's a, you know, something like that. That came into my mind, but I held that back, but I couldn't think of anything witty to say either. I was watching ever thought about being like a policeman or anything like that? Ever thought you wanted to do that job? You better, if you go through that kind of training, you better learn it really well, all right? I saw a video of this officer. He was stopping a car full of guys, and You know, he comes up to the window, and he's asking for his license. Oh, well, yeah, I have one, but I don't have it with me. So the officer says, well, can you turn off the car? And so the guy slowly turns off the car. But the officer picked up some nervousness out of the guy's speech and mannerisms. So and he said, okay, so you want to give me the keys? So the guy gave him the keys and set him up on the roof. So I want to have you step out of the car. The guy said something, but it wasn't like, no, I don't have to get out of the car. Nothing like that. You know, he was fairly polite still. Okay? So it's the driver's seat. He opens the door, swings his leg around, starts to get up, pulls a gun out of his pocket, bam, shoots the cop. Like within a split second, the cop was ready. He stepped back. As soon as he saw the guy's hand go down to his pants pocket like that, he was he was at the door. He went like that, and the guy fired one shot and started running, and the cop had his weapon out and bam, 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 took him out. Things happen fast, right? It matters if you've learned your lesson. It's not easy to do it right. It matters for the people that we interact with, whether you've learned your lesson or not. You can't just fire something off, you know, if it's not right. You have to know whether you should be doing it or not. I mean, sometimes it's a split-second decision. There's a... I think it was last week. Some guy was shot while he was laying on his back on the pavement with his hands up. And why was he shot? There was a call that someone had a gun. It was waving it around. So the cop goes to the scene, and there's two people there, and one of them had something. He has the guy lay on the ground, or the guy lay down on the ground right away, okay? But for some reason, the cop shot him anyway. And what the cop said was, I thought the other guy had a gun and he's going to attack you. Okay, you know what the other guy was? He was an adult autistic person, and the other guy was his attendant from the home. And you know what he had? He had a toy truck. Hey, I think that cop made a mistake. I think he fired too fast. I mean, I know they got a hard job and all, but man, I think you probably are in trouble. Well, you're probably going to lose your job. The guy was just shot in the leg, so it wasn't bad at all. Okay, and thank God, because I mean, he would feel terrible. If he shot and killed a person because he thought an autistic kid's toy truck was a gun, he'd have to carry that for the rest of his life. Because for some reason, I don't know why, he didn't learn his lesson well in school or something. I don't know why he shot him like that. In fact, there was something in the article, the fellow that got shot, he said he asked the officer, "Why did you shoot me?" And the officer said, "I don't know." Well, they're denying that he said that. The officer's lawyer is denying that he said that now, of course, you know. So we need to know what we're doing, right? We need to learn our lessons. So let's keep going here. We need to learn them well. What are the parties in this interaction, in the lesson? Well, there's the teacher. Right? Who's the teacher? No, it's not the guy standing up in the pulpit. It's not him. God's the teacher, right? The problem is we can't see him directly. Okay? And you sit out there and you're in your class and the teacher's up there and you can see the teacher, you can hear the teacher, you can see what the teacher draws on the board. But when God's a teacher, you can't see him. He doesn't have an audible voice like the teacher does. It's different. It's not the same. It's harder to learn in these situations. So you have to learn in that situation, how are you going to be a good student? How are you going to learn? So when you're reading, are you listening to see if God's saying anything? You read your Bible, are you just whipping through it, or are you listening? And I don't mean listening like when you're in the store and they're playing music and you note that it's the Bee Gees. And I used to listen to that song. Making a joke for Brother Stevens. He might listen to this tape. Maybe. It's not like that, right? It's supposed to be more like some important phone call comes in and you put the phone up to your ear, and if you can't hear, well, then you plug the other one, right? Or you lean in so you can hear what the person's saying. When you're reading, are you trying to hear what God's saying? Well, when you're praying, are you trying to listen to what God's saying, or you just keep telling him all the things you want? You listen to what he wants to try to tell you. When you're in church and you're listening to a lesson, okay, you're getting the information that the preacher's putting out, but are you maybe listening to see maybe there's some stuff in there, that some extra specific stuff that God is giving to you directly? It's not the same as listening to a regular teacher. You got to work harder at it, it seems like. And then there's the student, right? You're the student, right? Are there any other students? Well, yeah, there's a whole bunch of other students. Sometimes we think we're the only student, though. That's the that's the funny part. You think you're the only student. But no, besides me, there's all kinds of students. And so when God gives a lesson, he's going to teach you, and at the same time, he might be teaching a couple other people, or maybe a bunch of other people, or a whole group of people. And so sometimes that part of the lesson is, or a certain part of the lesson is not directed right at you, okay? But you're still in the classroom, you know, you got to just get up and leave. Oh, this part's not for me, right? We had a couple months back, it's been about a half year now. Older fellow in our church, he had something go wrong. He was in the hospital. And, I mean, nobody wants to go to the hospital, spend time in the hospital. And, I mean, I'm sure he asked himself, well, Lord, why are you doing this to me? I mean, why is this happening? I didn't, I don't understand. Well, when one of the other sisters, who's actually family member also, went and visited, there were some other people, some other patients in the room, and their relatives were there, and the hospital rooms in China are more crowded. So she started witnessing to this one lady, and the lady says, this is wonderful. I have never heard this before in my life. I've got another relative that's in another part of the hospital. Let me go get her. Let me call her and have her come. So she calls her on the phone. And this other relative's come. They're sitting there listening to this sister witness to him. And the other person comes. This is something I've never heard this before. Maybe the lesson you're learning, the part that you're in right now, the part of the lesson right now, is not just about you. Maybe there's other people. So maybe you learn the part that you need to learn, but there's some other stuff being taught, and part of it's going through you. Because you're not the only student. There's not just one student in the class. You know, when you say lesson, the word lesson, what do we always equate that with? God's teaching me a lesson. We always equate that with being tested, right? Or going through a trial. Why does it have to be so hard like that? I mean, okay, so it takes a while, maybe years, okay, but why does it have to be so hard, like this trial? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you are learning something that you don't know. That is, in your current state, you are unable. And God wants to move you from unable to able. And so when we are unable, We are clumsy. We are uncomfortable. We are irritated. We are pushed into places that we don't want to be, right? And we can't do things well. That's where lessons start, right? If you already knew it, you already were able, then you wouldn't have to have a lesson, right? All of our lessons start with unable and move to able, or from weak to strong. They all start like that. So it's always going to be like this. For all, there's no easy lesson. Every once in a while you get kind of an easy one, but for the most part, that's how they all start out. It's always going to be like that. You know, unless you're like a genius or whatever, you know. And on top of that, we are so often not very diligent students anyways, right? We don't want to work hard. We don't want to read our textbooks and so on. We don't want to make notes. We don't want to go back and review our notes. We want to wait till just before the test and then cram, and then maybe we can get a passing grade. That's right? There's another word that we often equate with a lesson, and that's chastisement. Right? Well, sometimes there are certain lessons that can be categorized as chastisement, but you don't necessarily need to categorize all of your lessons as a Christian as chastisement. Maybe it's not. Like I said, maybe there's other reasons for the way the lesson's going, but maybe it is, right? When does God chastise us? Well, what if he's a principal and he's walking the halls and he finds you sitting out in the hallway? He might thwack you aside the head and say, "Why out in the hallway? Right? How come you're not in the classroom?" You just smack you on the side of the head if you are sitting out in a classroom and you're supposed to be in class, right? In the next situation, maybe. Or teacher's teaching, and he peeks in, and he sees you there. He comes up behind you, and on your ear. Why do that? Because you were like this. You're in class where you're supposed to be, but you're sleeping. You're not paying attention. So he's got to wake you up. So it might be something like that. I mean, in a way, we probably have to say he's doing you a service, right? Because, I mean, especially if you went to you're in a private school, your parents paid money for you to be in class, right? Maybe you paid money to be in that class, right? You shouldn't be asleep. You don't want to be asleep. You want to learn that stuff, right? You paid. So he's doing you a service, right? Or it might be something like this. You learned it. And then you went off and you used the skill that you learned for a while, and then you quit using it. So comes along, and again, I don't know what he's going to do to you this time. Last time he flicked your ear. Maybe this time for something else, I don't know. Whatever, thwack you some way. You went back to this old method, huh? Wasn't the new one working for you? Seemed like you were doing okay with it. Why you go back to the old method? He might in that situation. So sometimes sometimes that's it, yeah. And you know what I think we should do? I think it's profitable if something happens in your life that's out of the ordinary, you know, like something beyond this runny nose or something like that, maybe you should ask God. You trying to show me something? You ever ask God? Are you trying to teach me something? I mean, this happened. This is kind of unusual, Lord. Is there a lesson in here for me? We should ask. We should ask more. Maybe he'd tell us. Or if you wanted to, you know, you could just, you don't have any lessons that you're learning right now. Maybe if you like studied ahead, that might work pretty good, right? You could pick out some, for example, some character traits. You just pick out a list and see how you're doing. I got a list here. You can Our school curriculum has them intermingled in the texts, so the kids get a little dose every lesson of a character trait. Here's a list. Discretion, that's one. How are you doing on that? Self-control, diligence, dependability, boldness. Just pick a list, and if you got one that's just really bad, you can say, Lord, can you help me with this one? So, whoa, I'm not going to ask for a lesson. Well, I'm talking about studying ahead. Wouldn't it work better if you studied ahead and you? I think it would be better that way. I think the Lord would appreciate that. And maybe he would. It would actually go smoother, right? Maybe it should be cautiousness instead of boldness. Punctuality, friendliness, generosity. A lot of different character traits you can just pick. Study ahead. Pick something ahead. Okay, last question. How come you're not finished with your lesson? How come you haven't finished it? Chapter. Let's turn to second. We're in second. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 5. You say, this one's really hard for me. It's taking me longer than I thought. Okay, that's all right. I made a couple of mistakes. I thought I had it, but I got to go back and learn it. All right, that's okay. Okay, I can accept that. As long as you don't say this one, 5:13. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Idle. As long as you don't say, the reason I haven't learned my lesson is because I don't feel like studying. That I don't think that answer will go over. So, when your kid comes home from school or whatever, it's time to finish dinner. And dinner's finished, and do you say to your kid, okay, we finished dinner, it's 7 o'clock, you go ahead and play games until, 9 o'clock, and then you go ahead and work on your homework. Anybody say that? Yeah. No, that's not what you tell them. You tell them, do your work first, and then play, right? Work first, and then play. But we always want to like play first, and then maybe if we got any energy left, then we'll study afterwards, right? I mean, after all, I'm not in school anymore. I can manage my own time, right? I mean, my kids got to do it that way, but I don't have to. I can just I'll play, and then if I got any energy left, I'll say it, maybe on the weekend I'll study a little bit if I got some time. You know, that's how so often we do it. One more, and then we're gonna finish. Matthew. Chapter 11, this is a verse everybody knows, probably. Matthew 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Are you learning of him? Well, then that yoke's got to be there, right? Have you ever seen a picture of a yoke? The big wood things? Where do they get those from anyways? Again, from Fleet Farm? No, they make them. Somebody makes them out of a piece of wood, and they may rough them out first, but then for every individual... what is that animal called? It's called an ox, or maybe you use a donkey if you're poor, right? They ought to cut him out for his neck so it has to fit just right. So when he's pulling, doesn't chafe and get irritated, and then he can't work anymore. It's a custom fit, right? The custom fit. Exactly what we need, right? The yoke, if you're willing to put it on, it's been fitted really well. And so you can pull it, and maybe it'll feel kind of heavy, but you'll get used to it after a while. And you'll be stronger because of it, right? So how are you doing with your lesson? Let's stand.